I think you picked me up on the way to the studio, Mike. Fine time for my car to be in the shop after some asshole who papered over windows plowed into it.
Yeah, that stupid fat is just idiotic. Who blinds themselves just to prove a point?
Idiots, man. You called it. Hey, did you get contacts?
Nope. I decided to do the smart version of the Bird Box Challenge after my 3-year-old nephew elbowed me in the face and broke my glasses. By the way, have some snacks. There's honey roasted nuts in the ashtray.
That's gross, man.
Why? I never smoke. No one's ever smoked in here. Why not have a snack tray for traffic jams?
Actually, that's pretty fucking brilliant.
I usually am.
So, you're not blind without your glasses?
Nope, just legally unfit to drive. Now let's navigate these rapids.
Mike, this is the highway!
The rapids of the road. Besides, I'm not crippled, man. I can still steer and pedal.
Pedal?
I'm like 70% good to go. But I do need you to spot any cars on the side that pull any funny business like moving in front of me.
Switching lanes is standard procedure, not funny
business! Besides, I took care of the risk of any danger. While I was waiting for you, I dosed some pigeons and I stuffed them in the back. They should be waking up any moment. Oh, there they go. Yeah, you little fuckers are gonna work for those peanuts. No such thing as a free meal. Now watch out for road hazards.
You mean like us?
Don't be negative.
Wait, man. You mean these peanuts in the ashtray? You let me eat tranquilizer nuts? Oh, get away from me, you fucking sky rats!
Of course not, man. I left all those on the sidewalk. I loaded a handful of fresh ones after I dumped them in the back.
After handling these pigeons? Oh, fuck no. I'm not gonna wait to find out what you've exposed me to. I'm out.
Sheldon! Man, some people just can't see the merit in good ideas. Guess I'm not the only one lacking vision. I'm so clever. Oh, fuck!
Episode 85 of The Graveyard Shift, where each week we watch a horror movie suggested by one of our listeners and we break it down into the good, the bad, and any other category we decide to make up along the way if something doesn't fit into either of those. We'll talk about the plot, some production details, and anything else we find fun or relevant. I'm your host Sheldon, and I never worked a graveyard shift alone. Please say hello to someone whose suicide-inducing nightmare after seeing an insanity demon would be having to edit and produce a horror movie podcast with a host that constantly flakes onto recording dates, my co-host Mike.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Mike. So, just in case anyone listening didn't get from my intro or didn't read the show notes, why don't you tell everyone what we have for them this week?
Today's episode is not the worst thing I've seen in a box.
Ooh.
Because we watched Bird Box.
We sure did. And before we get into any details or, you know, get into any info on Bird Box at all, what do you think of this one?
Never has a movie begun with a more honest disclaimer. It's going to be rough. It's going to feel like it's been going on for a long time. So it's going to be hard to stay alert. It's going to be even harder to stay quiet.
Yeah, I agree. So Bird Box was a suggestion from Miranda Kay, who requested it on our Facebook page. So thank you for that, Miranda. We did bump this one up the list just so that we could talk about it while it's still sort of fresh. Everyone else that suggested movies, you know, months ago, yours is still on the list. Like I said, we just wanted to talk about this one while people are still talking about it. All right, so before we give our breakdown, here's some info on Bird Box. Released on December 21st, 2018, Bird Box is a Netflix-exclusive post-apocalyptic thriller starring Sandra Bullock and John Malkovich, and is based on a 2014 novel of the same name. It's rated R due to scenes of graphic violence, has a runtime of 124 minutes, more on that later, and had a budget of approximately $19.8 million. No word on a profit because, of course, this is on Netflix. I still find it, like, I don't want to say amazed, but, like, when you think about Netflix, because, Mike, like, you know, me and you are we're definitely back in the day type people. You remember Netflix first came on the scene and it was like just a service where you would actually request, you would rent DVDs. They would actually send you DVDs in the mail.
I remember hearing it about that, but again, I was, as long as piracy was around, I was just like, man, these services are for suckers.
Yeah, that's true. You are definitely a pirate. And
I may be a pirate, but at least I'm not Arr Kelly.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. Now, let me just take some good glass of scotch to wash away that.
You got to get the aftertaste of that shitty joke out of your mouth.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's like, man, like, it's pretty crazy when you think about it. Like, Netflix starts off with just this DVD by mail service, and then goes into, like, a whole, like, you know, the world's biggest streaming site, and then to where they're creating their own content, like, not just, you know, giving you streaming service for other people's stuff, like, just creating their own stuff and making multi-million dollar movies. It's pretty insane. And did you hear the whole thing? Talking, since we're on the topic of back in the day, one of my favorite places ever, like as a kid and a teen, as a young adult, was Blockbuster Video. Netflix actually tried to partner with, they actually tried to partner with Blockbuster Video. Like,
yeah, we got this great service. How about we add your catalog to our stuff and then we can like rent out your movies online.
Yeah, kind of like and Blockbuster turned on them flat.
Yeah, this internet thing's not going to take off.
Yeah. And now Blockbuster is dead. Man, we always talk, when we talk about Blockbuster, because like going to the video store was like such, like, not just, I mean, I got exposed to movies that like I would never get exposed to any other way. Like, you know, going in there and seeing all these titles on the shelves and going through them, it's, to me, it's not the same. Like, I totally understand why streaming became such a big thing. I get it. And when I was a kid, if somebody told me that, you know, in the future, I'm just going to be able to go on my TV and go and select what movie I want to watch and just watch it right then and there, like never going out and getting it, I would have thought that was the coolest thing ever.
With 40 times the selection you would get from the big Blockbuster. Not the one that's like in a strip mall, but the one that's its own building because it's so fucking huge.
But for me, like, the video store was also, there was, it's not just about the movies, there was a social aspect of it as well. Like, I have friends that, like, I'm still friends with now that I met at Blockbuster Video.
Oh yeah, talking with the video guy, like, hey, what's new, what do you recommend, are there any hidden gems around here? There's that personal, there's the local movie critic aspect you get of the guy that's been working there, who really belongs there, because that's his paradise.
Yeah. It's like when a group of us, like me and some of my old friends, we get together and we start talking about like the video store and everything like this, talking about Blockbuster, it's like we always think about it with such, like, nostalgia goggles galore, right? Like, it was such a great time going to the video store. And then if my friend Ryan is with us, he used to work at Blockbuster Video and he fucking hates it. It's like, as soon as we start talking about Blockbuster, he's like, good, I'm glad they're done, man. I would have liked to have seen that place burn.
Oh, man, what behind-the-scenes horror was he exposed to?
Oh, just the usual customer service bit, you know? Like, when you look at it from that size, like, yeah, like, I mean, we would go there, like, we're not hassling anybody. We would go look through the movies, talk amongst ourselves, find a movie we want to watch, some obscure horror movie that was, like, tucked away on some back shelf somewhere, and rent that, pick up some snacks, and be on our way. But I'm sure, like, you know, he talked about people that were coming in to get a new release and it wasn't there and they'd throw a fit, or they'd come in and ask for some kind of movie that, like, gives some vague description, didn't know a title, gives some vague description and say, oh, I know it's here because a friend of mine told me about it. And he'd be going through everything trying to find, like, some shitty-ass movie. And then they'd say, like, oh, maybe it wasn't here. Maybe it was some other video store. And his boss was a fucking perv, so it's just... Yeah, it was, I can understand how he didn't like it, but anyway. But anyway, enough of Nostalgia Hour. Okay, so where did I end off? I was talking about, of course, it's on Netflix. But I'm going to give the Rotten Tomatoes score on this one, despite some of the feedback we've gotten about Rotten Tomatoes. Seriously, people have told us like stuff like, Rotten Tomatoes sucks, they don't give accurate ratings. Okay, like, first of all, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't give any ratings. What it does is give an average score of online reviews. That's it. It's just a guideline. Don't take it so fucking seriously. Like, reviewers don't work for Rotten Tomatoes. They just give an accumulation of the score that this movie, these movies have online. So, relax.
Yeah, there are no reviewers for Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, other than, like, just, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry just goes on and gives, like, their own opinion on it. But yeah, nobody but cares. Yeah,
like, they're not working for Rotten Tomatoes. They're using Rotten Tomatoes as a platform for their, like, it was the best use of puppetry I have seen in the 2010s.
That's actually a pretty good comic book guy.
Thank you.
Nice.
I see someone has an appreciation for talent.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so I strongly disagree with Rotten Tomato scores on some movies, as we both have with movies we've covered on the show. It's like, at times, I've loved movies that have just been bashed by critics. And that's fine. It doesn't matter. Relax. Like, if you think you like a movie, go watch it. Who cares what the scores are? We just give it, like I said, it's just a little guideline just so that people can get an idea of what other people think of this movie.
Yeah, it's a consensus of public opinion, not one person's, it's not any one individual's opinion. It is the consensus of the public that is willing to speak and rate it.
Yeah, like, we give the Rotten Tomato scores from the movies we cover just so that you can do the same thing that we do. Like, I never watch a movie, I don't not see a movie or go watch a movie based on Rotten Tomato scores. I just like to see if I'm in the majority or not with, like, the movies that I like. And I don't care if I am or not. I'm just curious about it. And this is just a way for other people that think the same way to satisfy their curiosity.
Yeah, like, Jack Frost got a 12 on, what is it, like 7? Jack Frost is like a 7 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, and no. Like, yeah. I'm not going to say fuck Rotten Tomatoes. I think I did say fuck Rotten Tomatoes. But it's not directed specifically at Rotten Tomatoes. It's like, through Rotten Tomatoes, I am saying fuck you to everyone that didn't get what this movie was.
You're talking to this group of people that bash this movie.
Yeah,
I would never say that, like, okay, I am not going to say that Jack Frost is a good movie. Like, if you were going to give a list of what makes a movie good, Jack Frost does not meet the criteria.
It would fail now, that cut, but it would fail that cut.
Did I enjoy it, though? Absolutely. Like, there is a big difference between what I enjoy, like, in a lot of cases anyway, between what I enjoy and what's actually good.
Yeah, you missed giving your thoughts on it.
Oh, I have thoughts on it. We'll maybe discuss that later. Maybe it'll be a Patreon cover. Who knows? And there's another reason, too, that I want to bring up Rotten Tomatoes for this one, because I think this is the first time that I've ever seen this happen, at least on any movie we've covered. I don't remember it happening anyway. This has a 62% score from both Rotten Tomato critics and audience scores.
Wow, perfect synergy?
Yeah. Like, that never happens. Usually there's some divide. Like, I mean, I've been surprised by it, because especially with horror movies, I always found that when it comes to critics' reviews and audience reviews, critics are a lot more harsher on horror movies. They'll give it lower scores while fans think it's fantastic. And, I mean, that kind of makes sense. Like, you know, horror movie fans are usually more forgiving. But to see, like, an even score, like, across the board for critics and audience, like, that's pretty much unheard of.
Yeah.
So, in case you haven't checked this out yet, this big phenomenon that is Bird Box, here's the plot. 5 years after an ominous unseen presence drives most of society to suicide, a mother and her two children make a desperate bid to reach safety. All right, so Mike and I are going to do like we always do. We are going to talk about the good and the bad, and that can be anything we liked or didn't like about this movie. And this can be something as broad as an overall theme, or something as specific as a certain character, certain actor, certain line of dialogue, certain scene, whatever. If we liked it, we'll talk about it. If we didn't like it, we'll probably talk about it even more. We always start with the good, and we always start with the mic. So, Mike, please tell me something good about Bird Box.
The beginning, it has an excellent, chaotic scene that begins from Mallory leaving the hospital for her ultrasound and arriving at the Malkovich residence and seeing an immediate tragedy of someone trying to do her a favor.
Yeah.
Between that, where they are just, like, she sees someone freaking out in the hospital trying to smash their head into a window, and she's like, yeah, let's get the fuck out of here and drive. And as she does, yeah, she tries to answer a phone in the back, sparing her from seeing it. But her sister, who's driving, gets it, and you see her eye, her retinas just scatter. And she just plows into the car. She just plows the car into another car. Probably one of those ramps that are always parked off to the side of sidewalks. So yeah, that cars can do sweet flips.
Cars flip very easily in movies, I've noticed.
Well, all you need is like a slight incline and you're fucking airborne.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sees her sister commit suicide by just backing into a garbage truck, which is pretty funny. And then just seeing just absolute chaos around her. And, like, I know she's pregnant. Still, you can, like, try to get up. But she's just, like, stuck on the ground for the longest time. And John Malkovich's wife decides, I'm going to go out to help her. And she gets to her, tells her, like, come inside the house. And before she can help her up, she just looks up, gets the sizzly eyes, and just decides, hey, that looks like a really comfy car. I'm going to go have a seat. It doesn't matter that it's on fire. It's fine.
Yeah. And I mean, not just like, you know, smoldering, like it's about to, like, you know, in most movies, it'd be like, you know, they get into a car and it explodes like that because, like, the engine's on fire. There's a little bit of flame. No, this thing is, like, fully engulfed when she gets in it.
Yeah. She just opens up the door, gets inside, and whoosh.
Yeah, that's
it was startling.
It was, yeah. It was pretty much what I had for first on my good list. Like, I mean, it didn't take long to jump into it. They did a little bit of building up Sandra Bullock's character at first, like, so you know, like, what's going on with her.
She's an asshole.
She is, yep, absolutely. That's been, and that gets established pretty good. She's an artist, she's pregnant, and she's an asshole. And her and her sister are very different. And yeah, it doesn't take very long. Like, it wasn't like, you're just waiting for something to happen. Like, it was pretty fast-paced, even, like, the back and forth between her sister. And they give us, like, a little inkling about what's happening because they see the news reports about what's happening in some other countries.
But it's Russia, so who gives a fuck?
Pretty much, yeah. Doesn't she say that?
Yeah.
Kind of like, so it's Russia.
I'm surprised they didn't throw in, like, suicides. Of course, it's Russia. Have you seen what they do there? They just drink and play chess.
Oh, my God. I saw this great comedy bit over the weekend where this guy was saying in stand-up comedy, saying that, like, you know, the only way that you can be, if you're white, the only way you can be scary is if you're Russian. And so he lives in a bad neighborhood, so whenever he's outside, he speaks with a Russian accent and people don't mess with him.
Well, yeah, because Russians were, like, the original terrorists.
Yeah. So, yeah, it opens up, like I said, a pretty fast pace. We get a taste of what's going on. And then once they're leaving the hospital, that's when the shit starts happening. And it spreads fucking quickly. Holy shit. Like, from, like, you know, we get that first scene, like you said, of this woman just bashing her face into the plate glass at the hospital. And then just absolute pandemonium on the streets. And people are just offing themselves left, right, and center. Like, it's just, like, just absolute craziness. And yeah, some good deaths. Like her sister, after they crash the car, she gets out and sees a garbage truck coming and just back, like, steps back into it right in his path, and she just basically explodes. It was pretty nice. And then you get John Malkovich's wife just, like, you know, trying to help this pregnant lady and says something about, Mom, is that you? And then gets inside a burning car. Like, holy shit. That's pretty insane. So, I guess, like, you open up with, like, a great, like, within, like, first 15 minutes of the movie was really good. And I just had, like, yeah, the pacing was nice. Like, didn't have to wait around very much for stuff to start happening. So that was good. Okay, so since our first two kind of melded together, next I have my list was the cast of characters. Like, man, the actors, I should say, just the cast itself. Fucking good cast.
Excellent.
Of course, you got Sandra Bullock, and Sandra Bullock's good. Like, I mean, I wouldn't put her on my, you know, if I was making a top 10 list of actors or anything like that, she probably wouldn't be on the list. But I can't say that anything I've seen her in, like, I would ever call it, say that she did a shitty job. She's a good actor. I think she's, like, made her mark in the industry. She's fine. John Malkovich is always good. Maybe he always plays the same character. I know a lot of people said that. Like, you know, whatever he's in, he's just being John Malkovich.
And that's fine. Why mess with perfection?
That's fine. But, like, he's fucking awesome. Like, he was John Malkoviching his ass off in this thing.
Yeah, it's like, always be yourself unless you can be John Malkovich. Then be John Malkovich.
Yeah.
They made a movie about it, for fuck's sakes.
Exactly.
Who wouldn't want to be John Malkovich?
Yeah, so it's, like, he's doing a great job. And, like, so they are, like, the big draws in this movie. But the supporting cast was good as well, man. Like, everybody, like, did a fine job, I thought. Like, any problems I had with this movie was nothing to do with any of the acting.
Oh, yeah, they had phenomenal actors. In the little section I call Lookalike Theater, they had not 50 Cent, not Cedric the Entertainer.
Nope, certainly not.
And one of the Marauders who shows up later was not Nicholas Brendon.
Oh my god, yes, I've got that on my note too. Fucking Xander. I'm like, literally, like, my note actually says, is that Xander? But it was not.
No, we've seen him in different things like Gotham. He was, like, this guy's lots of Batman show. Like, not only was he in some episodes of Gotham, he was also in The Dark Knight, I think, as one of the bank robbers for the Joker.
Yeah, I think that's, he's definitely on a list of, like, people, like, actors you've seen in just about everything, but you have no idea who they are.
Because you keep thinking he's Nicholas Brendon.
Yep. And in case anyone's wondering, like, just in case, and probably don't have any of our listeners, though, you probably don't have to remind them, we're talking about Xander from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
If you know another Xander, let us know, because I think it's the only time I've heard that name.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
To continue off your good with mine... John Malkovich is fucking great as the angry asshole who is simultaneously threatening the group while conversely being sadly right.
He is. That's the thing about his character. Everything he said, he is right about it. So, yeah, like, really, they would have lasted longer if they just listened to everything he said. Like, he immediately went into survival mode and, he had some good ideas that he should have, I'll talk about that again, like, this in a little bit, but he had some ideas, or at least one idea, that they really should have listened to him. And they would have been a lot better off. At least that's my theory, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else did you like?
See, here's the problem I have with this movie. There, like, even though, like, it's not bad, there's not really, it feels kind of weird because there's not really, like, a lot of good stuff to talk about. The story was good. I mean, I had no problem with it. It's, I think the concept was great. Again, I'm going to have some things to talk about in a little while. But yeah, I guess the overall story, I mean, like, it's not the most original thing, because I mean, like, when it comes down to it, it's just another, you know, post-apocalypse type movie
where they just decide we need to have a threat, but we just don't have the budget to create, we just don't have the budget or the decent writing to create an actual villain or an explanation, so we're just not going to explain. Well, hold on, maybe we should just rewind a bit. We're not in the bad section yet.
No. I don't really have anything else good to talk about, though. Like, the story was pretty good. Acting was good. Kills in it were good.
Yeah.
But we already kind of talked about that in the opening, so.
Yeah, my goods. Two quick ones. The music, I was glad to hear A Little Prayer for You by Warwick Davis. That was a good song to hear.
You mean Dionne Warwick?
No, 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 not the same one that was in Willow, no. That's a little callback to a previous episode where I tripped you up really fucking good.
I tripped myself up.
No, I did it. You just didn't notice it. If you listen to the episode, I planted that first and you just went right through it just like, yep. I'm like, huh? You didn't catch it. I got you. And the showdown with the Marauders at the end. Well, the end for a certain character. It was a good confrontation. Although I did have some problems with how it ended, but I guess that would, now we can transition to the many problems.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was some, like, just because it was an okay movie, doesn't mean that it wasn't problematic. So, let's take a ride to Pessimism Valley.
While I give this movie like mostly positive reviews, like I think that 62% the Rotten Tomatoes score is perfectly fine. It definitely had more bad things to talk about, which I know sounds weird. Like if it had more bad things, why are you giving it like a mostly positive review? But maybe some of it is nitpicking, but a lot of it, no, is things that definitely would have made the movie better. So, since you start off with good, I guess I'll start off with the bad. Fucking listen to John Malkovich! Fuck! Like, first of all, they somehow fucking blind drive a car to a fucking supermarket by using the GPS.
And the proximity sensor on it.
And the proximity sensors, but... fuck those guys. That, no. Anyway, they make it there, and he says, like, you know, we got enough stuff here. We could live here for a year. And yeah, they could. The reason they don't end up, like, they could, since they already made it to the supermarket, they could go back and get the rest of the people that were holed up in the house, bring them back again. You know, if the ridiculous idea worked once, it could work again.
Well, then you got the bed situation to think about, I guess.
Jesus, come on, like, You could like makeshift something there to sleep on. The main thing is like you got a place that's got, you know, it's actually got some bathrooms, got all the food and supplies you need, running water. It would be perfect, and so much more space. Like literally, like yeah, he's absolutely right. You could live there on the non-perishables for like a year. But then because they encounter that one crazy guy, what do you call him, Freddy Fishfingers? Something like that, and he kills one of their guys. But it's like, maybe I'm just going into just like, you know, total like I don't give a fuck mode, but like open the door and let him in and then kill him once he's in and then like shove his corpse out the door again.
Yeah, you have several people there.
Yeah,
why were why were they fighting him? Why were they pushing against the door? Like, he's just one guy, open it, get a good bead on him, and then blast him with your gun.
Yeah.
And fucking Charlie, his noble sacrifice? Like, fuck you, you dumb fucking idiot. Have you ever heard of kicking? Allows you to keep people at a distance so you don't get locked in the stabby loading bay. And you can keep being the lovable fat dork that who is the moral center and the heart of the group. But no, you had to decide, I'm going to courage today. And, like, this is like if Ralph Wiggum had his moment of glory and triumph.
Yes.
So, exactly. No, you're not impressed, and I'm not going to pour a 40 out for you.
Yeah. So, it was one crazy guy. Like, yes, I understand, like, that's the first one they encounter, and they didn't know how to handle it, but, like, it's just one guy. He's trying to open the door. He's pushing it in. Like, pull him in, and then, like, take care of it. Like, fucking dogpile him. Crazy or not, there was, like, seven people there. Okay, so... I guess... what I want to say for the bad, and some people are going to argue with me with this and say that, no, this is better. I'm not a big fan of what you don't see is scarier than what you do see.
Yeah, Bart said it best. You know what's scarier than nothing? What? Anything!
Exactly. Man, you're gone full on Simpsons tonight. Love it. And there is some times when it works, like certain scenes where, you know, there's some, especially some classic horror movies where they really make it work when sometimes, like, yeah, in this scene, what you didn't see is scarier. But I've never been a fan, like, I'm okay when it's used at certain times, but not when the entire movie is something you don't see, especially the way they did it here, because we never ever see the insanity demons. Never see them. We get to see rustling leaves and things like that, like a wind. They kind of bring a wind with them. Yet, when they're in the car, when they're blind driving the car to the supermarket, these things are climbing on the car and casting shadows.
Yeah, and it triggers the proximity sensor. So, like, fuck, if you thought it was the wind, it wouldn't trip a proximity sensor. So it's like there's some solid matter getting pinged off the car's radar or however that thing works.
Yeah, it's like they couldn't decide. Like, okay, like I'm trying to figure it out. Okay, are these like non-corporeal beings? Like they're not seen, but like when you gaze at them, like, you know, you go insane because you can't comprehend what you're seeing, and you end up killing yourself. Or are they actually physical? And if they are physical, these huge physical beings, then why do they need to make you commit suicide? Why don't they just kill you?
Yeah, how do these things live if they don't kill you? Like, you just kill yourself. There's so many fucking questions this movie does not answer, and it's unforgivable. Like, is it a single entity or not? Or is it like a force, like a cloud that spreads across the world? Because the world would be somewhat safe if this was just a single entity moving around. Like, if it left Russia to go to America, you think Russia would be rebuilding and they'd be safe. Like, everything in its path would die, but then when it moves on, whoever survives can rebuild. But yeah. Then when the proximity sensor keeps beeping in several directions, you have to wonder, like, is it a swarm of creatures? What do they eat? Because there's still bodies. There are desiccated bodies all over the streets, so it's not eating the people. So why does it need the... Like, is it just like some unpleasant side effect that just seeing them makes you kill yourself, but they're not trying to do that? Like what do they eat? And it's not like it's just simply a miasma or a cloud that spreads, because when Grant, the Asian guy, he's looking outside with the cameras, it takes a while for it to show up because it's not permeating everything. So is it a breeze? Is this the shitty sequel to Tag? the shitty Asian movie, not the 2018 Jeremy Renner classic about the game.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get into if it's connected to another movie that's got a very similar concept. But so that bothered me because, like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm okay with it. Like, okay, if that's going to be your style choice that you never see, like, what's causing anything, all right, fine, whatever. These things are, like, you know, I don't want to say invisible because people do see them, but whatever, that's their power that they make people go insane and kill themselves. Like, they reveal themselves when you, like, lock eyes with them, whatever. Okay, fine. You explain that away. But, yeah, like, but I didn't get, like, if these things are supposed to be phantoms, like, you know, non-corporeal, but then they surround the car. The car is detecting that there's something solid there. They're casting a shadow on the car when they're outside, and they seem to be huge.
Yeah, how did they get from
us? And there's cars surrounded, but if they've got the car surrounded, then, like, why were they able to just drive off?
Yeah, why didn't they just smash, if they're corporeal beings, why didn't they just smash the car?
Smash out the window, and if, like, they smash out the windows and like, or just reach over and open the fucking door and people will see them, yeah. And then they'll go crazy and kill themselves.
That's what we should be, like, these things should be walking through houses, like, walking through neighborhoods, smashing glasses and searching each house. Like, mm-hmm. The rules here are so flimsy and poorly written. It is... It is so that, like, the most vapid people could take it for granted and just be like, nothing to question here.
So apparently, originally, there was supposed to be a scene in this movie where at the end, you actually do see one of the demons, like, in its physical form. But apparently it looks so ridiculous what the props people made up looks so ridiculous that the cast said that, like, that's going to just, people are just going to go nuts when they see this, like, it's going to look so stupid. Apparently Sandra Bullock even started laughing at it when she saw the prosthetic. Because apparently it just looked like a giant big-headed baby. So, yeah, I was reading that, like, on something I found online about, like, what the demons were supposed to look like.
So it identified them as demons?
Yeah. Like, the demon monster or whatever.
Wow, so hell actually was full and just decided to barf up some of these things.
Yep.
Like, explain, how did they get to America from Russia? Like, does it float? Like, they float on the breeze, they can fly?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I don't know. A wizard did it. Who knows? But yeah, so that did gripe me. Like, I mean, if that's fine, you want to do this whole thing, like, you know, you don't see what's actually coming at you. Okay, like, that's fine. It's a style choice. Like, not my favorite, but a lot of people like that. You know, like, a lot of people love the Blair Witch because you never, ever saw the witch. So, okay, fine. But that doesn't explain, like, these other problems. Like, one or the other. Either it's a physical thing or it's not.
And that's just the monsters. My first problem is the fucking people. Like,
yeah,
you only need the blindfold when the wind picks up, because apparently that's their calling card to let you know, like, we're coming.
Yeah.
Like, smarten up and quit stumbling around all the fucking time. You can look around, everything is fine, just only when the wind picks up, that's when you immediately throw the blindfold on and you hunker down. These things, for some reason, will not hurt you because apparently they're not creatures that need to eat. And just, or close your eyes, or, you know what, look down. Because it always, like, they always seem to look, because they can fly, apparently, they float around. So as long as you wander around closing your eyes or just looking down to get your bearings, you're fine. Nobody in this movie gets whammied by looking down on the ground.
Exactly, like, look down at the ground. I said the same thing. So, like, what are the demons going to do? They're going to, like, lay on their back and, like, you know, all of a sudden, like, slide their face, like, underneath you?
Like,
pop it from between your legs? Like, hello?
Yeah, nobody ever got whammied by looking down. Doesn't experience in this movie count for anything? Everybody is so fucking stupid. Like, even Tom... noble guy, nice guy, hero. When he ends up facing the marauders and he needs to take off the blindfold, yeah, that's fine. But he takes the blindfold off instead of lifting it up, guns down the marauders, and, like, as soon as he hears the wind pick up, you think after all these years, he would be, I don't know, maybe kind of fucking smart and not stupid, and just be like, time to put on the blindfold, or at the very least close my eyes, or, you know what, look down, just get down, hunker down, and say, Mal, I'm fine, I'm just waiting for it to pass over, wait for me. No, he just decides, oh, I hear this weird threatening noise, I am going to do what everyone I have seen do and die, and I'm going to look at it. Like,
yep, exactly.
I want to respect him, but motherfucker, 5 years later, and you are really stupid. Like, experience counts for nothing in this. And that is insulting to me. Like, you're trying to get me to have a connection with these characters who are bogglingly stupid, incapable of learning and evolving. Okay, so what's next for you?
Well, I had to make a note of that. Make a note of this. Rosa Salazar. Because, yum. She played, what was the character's name? Lucy? She was the, and when they were all, like, hunkered in the house, she was the police cadet.
Was that the one that was making out? Was that the one that was fucking that that ugly...
The druggie? Yeah.
Oh, God. But that was Machine Gun Kelly, right?
I have no idea.
God. Possibly? Yeah, he's that rapper
that... Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that got into a thing with Eminem. God, you know, it's, you know what? It's like if Pinocchio's life-giving fairy missed him and hit a can of Monster Energy drink instead, he's the result.
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. I even said there, like, I was like, no, Rosa Salazar, what are you doing? Not him, come on.
God, you could just be, like, dry humping him and you'd catch something.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, so I had to make a note of that.
It would have been nice to see what happened to those characters.
Yeah, that's something else, too. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, leave something to the imagination, right?
Like, yeah, it's, have them come back as marauders. Like, that would be fucking great.
Yeah.
But, you know, like... Why would you introduce good writing or strong characters in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and again, talking about experience not counting for anything, after 5 years of this, shouldn't Sandra Bullock be Daredevil by now?
Yeah, you think that all the time spent, like, blindfolded, blind yourself, your senses would get kind of honed?
Yeah. Why is she still stumbling over shit?
I don't know if that actually works, Mike. I don't know if that's a real thing.
Okay, well, okay, I don't need her to gain superpowers, but how about have a cane or some type to fish around so that she doesn't trip over shit?
Yeah, I said that. First thing I'm doing, like, I'm in a situation where I'm, you know, going to blind myself, like, I to save my sanity, blind myself, make sure I never open my eyes, got a blindfold on. At the very least, I'm grabbing some kind of stick, like, to, like, stick out in front of me so I don't run into things and trip over things.
Yeah, she should. Like I said, like, if you can't develop Daredevil powers, at least try to act like a sensible blind person.
Mm-hmm.
But no, because why would anybody be capable of learning or developing in this?
Yeah. Okay, I got a question for you that I put on my bad list, but I could be wrong. Maybe I just didn't notice. When the crazy guy that they don't know is crazy at first, Gary, is that his name? When he shows up, was he carrying anything with him, like any type of case or anything like that? I don't think he did. Like, I think he just showed up with, like, the clothes he had on his back, right?
I don't have a definitive memory either way.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't think he did, but where did he get, like, the, where was he keeping all those pictures of the demons he had drawn?
I think he may have been carrying a binder or a folder.
Okay, so if he had, nobody thought to check that or anything or ask what that is?
Who knows, maybe he had it in his shirt?
Maybe. It just seemed weird to me that,
But Gary is my next fucking point. The birds did not rat out Gary.
Yep.
We established that they can find crazy people, and yet Gary passed the test. These fucking shitbirds, they don't pull their weight, they fucking die. As soon as Gary pulls his shit, I would have left those birds in the fucking freezer, or flush each one. I would have been exactly. Like, we feed you, you little fuckers. You failed, you dropped the ball. You're fucking dead.
I'm going to kill one of you and see it just as a lesson to the other two.
Yeah, and I'm going to make you watch. A fundamental fatal flaw of this. This is where I'm starting to think, like, maybe 60% is maybe a little too high. You don't make a mystery like this without some explanation. If you're going to survive it, explain it, or help people fight it. Reclaim some territory. Just something. You establish this interesting thing, and then you're not going to explain it, you're not going to fight it. You're going to survive it, but with people who are really fucking stupid and not that great at surviving it.
Yeah.
Like, you got no hook for me.
Right. Okay, so here's the last thing I got on my list, because Has anyone heard of a movie from 2008 called The Happening?
Oh, The Killer Bees?
If you haven't, here's a description of The Happening that I found online. Out of the blue, a sheer number of unprecedented and utterly unexplained incidents began to threaten humanity as a seemingly unstoppable and invisible menace alters human behavior and people start committing mass suicide.
Oh my god, somebody saw that and thought, M. Night Shyamalan, I can one-up you.
They're like, ah, it's been 10 years. I'm pretty sure everyone's forgotten about The Happening.
And they did.
And everybody has. I think the most unbelievable part of that movie was Mark Wahlberg was a science teacher. But, yeah, like, I mean, when you strip it down to that, I mean, it's the same, the exact same premise. Even, like, you don't actually, like, it's an invisible force that you, like, the only time you get any type of detection that it's near you is by the breeze.
Yep, invisible suicidal death heralded by a breeze.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
I did, yeah.
What I heard it explained. I think I was listening to How Did This Get Made. Was it the fucking trees?
It was something to do with that, like the trees or plants, like pollen or something like that.
They saw us as like the threatening organism, so they decided to use their pollen to make us exterminate ourselves.
Yeah.
Like parasites that cause like animals to suicide themselves.
Even to the point where, yeah, it was kind of like, I think the way it was explained, like nature trying to balance things out, you know, like there's just too many humans, so let's kind of just like flush the system type of thing. And, yeah, even to the point, like, the whole thing about the mass suicide, people just, like, you know, they get affected, just go crazy, or kill themselves. But even to the point, wasn't there, like, some people were just, like, instead of killing themselves, they just went nuts and were attacking other people? But they were more, like, not zombie-like. Like, it's kind of more zombie-like, and I don't mean zombie-like and undead, but just, like, they were kind of mindless and just, like, mindlessly attacking people.
So it was, like, a rage virus thing.
And not even like a rage, because they're like very like calm and like, you know, no expression on their face while they do it or anything like that. Just like, it's more like mind control type of thing.
I need to violence now.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh, I'm sorry about this, but I gotta kill you. Because I remember like Mark Wahlberg or something like, and this, keep in mind, this movie was new, probably just on DVD, like probably one of the last movies that I rented from the video store. So. Some old, like, there's a scene where there's an old lady outside, they've got himself barricaded in the house, and this old lady is taken over by the, invisible force, and she's just trying to get in the house, and she's, like, bashes a window open with her head or something, to crawl in, so, like, yeah, a lot of similarities. Think Bird Box, from what I remember of, it was probably done better, but not a lot, and especially now that I'm looking at the scores, because, Bird Box, like I said, from Rotten Tomatoes is 72. The Happening has a 52. So you did a 10. So 10 years later, you did 10% better.
I would love to see a little How I Met Your Mother spinoff called The Slappening.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Where, like, when people are just compelled by an invisible force to slap people.
Oddly specific.
Well, you never saw how I Met Your Mother?
Oh shit, never mind. I said it had a 52% of Rotten Tomatoes. The Happening, it actually has an 18.
18. Wow.
18 an 18 critic score and a 24 audience score. So, yeah, people like Bird Box better apparently.
I think it's cuz of Sandra Bullock and Terrence Rhodes.
Yeah, probably. Well, and Malkovich. I mean, okay, yeah. Let's compare the acting chops. The two leads for Bird Box. We got Sandra Bullock, Terrence Rhodes. You said that's his name.
Yeah, not 50 Cent.
Yeah, and John Malkovich.
Yeah.
The Happening.
You got Marky Mark.
You got fucking Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg, Zooey Deschanel, and John Leguizamo.
Oh my god, so, Luigi.
Yeah, Bird Box had a little more star power.
You got Luigi, New Girl, and fucking Good Vibrations going on.
Yeah.
It's the trees, man. It's the fucking trees.
I know science. It's trees. Say hi to your mother for me. So, yeah. So, that's all I got for that. Like, I mean, my opinion is, like, I was fine. Like, I mean, it was too long. Some scenes could be cut in, especially, like, just, like, pointless conversations while boarded up inside the house. Cut down on, like, some character development for characters we don't care about and give me some more John Malkovich being John Malkovich. Just have him saying anything.
Keeping, like, the blindfolds on when there's no wind. Like,
give him, like, a bottle of whiskey and get him to read, like, the newspaper, and I'll, like, that'll be fine.
You wouldn't believe what Hagar the Horrible is up to now. He's drinking in a bar with Lucky Eddie, and he's apparently the marriage is not going well.
Did you ever see John Malkovich, like, Christmas episode of when he was on Saturday Night Live for a Christmas special? If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to talk about it, but, like, it's fucking brilliant. Just look it up online. Like, John Malkovich Christmas SNL. And it's, like, 5 minutes and totally worth your time.
You know, for the longest time, I kept confusing John Malkovich with that guy from, with the Nazi from Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't, another person that I can, the actor. I've seen him in a lot of stuff and never remember his name.
Yeah, I thought, for the longest time, I'm just like, why doesn't anybody talk about how great John Malkovich was in Inglourious Basterds? And then I look it up and I'm like, oh, because he wasn't in it.
Yeah. So, yeah, the runtime was too long. Like I said, could have been trimmed down. Didn't need to be, you know, over 2 hours. Definitely not.
Yeah, my final bad was the blind guy. they finally make it to paradise. And spoiler alert, it is a home for the blind. Which, yes, makes sense because in the valley where sight will kill you, the blind people are kings. And, like, there's some sighted people there because, you know, they're cool dudes. But the, yeah, blind guy, he gives her the tour. And when he fucking disappears, he goes, I'm going to get you some clothes. What size?
Yeah. I mean, maybe you don't have a lot to choose from, but... But he,
if I was this guy, I would definitely use the excuse of, I need to see your measurements with my hands so I can get the right size. I mean, I'm fucking blind, all right? Let me have something. If I can't feel up Sandra Bullock in the apocalypse, why am I even alive?
Yeah. It's like, okay, you feel like about a, maybe a B? Nope, that's definitely a C cup.
a size 4? Size 4, 5 waist? Well, somebody's been hitting the junk food.
the only note I made about the place is, like, but isn't this in, like, the fucking middle of nowhere? Like, why is there this home for the blind, like, out in the middle of the wilderness somewhere?
Yeah, you'd think a school for the blind would be in the city. Wait, this was like, well, it was a school for the blind. So maybe it could have been from a really prejudiced neighborhood where they wanted all the freaks and the abnormals to be
Maybe it was like a retreat or something, like a wilderness retreat.
No, the placard on it said, like, it was a school for the blind. So it was like, okay, like an orphanage or some kind. But, you know, it could have been, like, you know, a typical rich people thing. Like, we don't want to have the unfortunates around us. So why don't you put this here in this nice spot?
And, just because I'm blind doesn't mean I can't be judgy. So, yeah, maybe it is. It just seemed odd to me. So, yeah, it's, like, I don't want to say this movie wasn't a waste of time. Like, I'm glad I watched it. It was fine. If you haven't seen it and you want to just go watch, like, a movie that's okay, watch it. I don't regret watching it. It was good enough. It had some good things. I totally agree with the Rotten Tomatoes score. 62% is ballpark. I'd like anywhere between 60 and 70, I think, would have been, I'd be fine with. But I don't care to ever watch. Like, it's not one I'll go back and watch again.
No, there's so many better movies. There's better movies and there's better shittier movies.
Yes. Definitely. Like, it's not... it's good. It's not definitely not great. Not so bad that it's good. It's just okay. It's the Sandra Bullock of movies. It's she's fine, but not great.
Yeah, like she's fine. Like, if you like hot actresses, like, she's okay, but, you know, there's definitely hotter.
Yeah. And it's
It's got to be her star power, because I can't imagine, like, what are the movies on Netflix have done that fucking, like, a really stupid fad based off the gimmick?
Right, yeah.
Like, you seen, like, people wrapping their cars, trying to drive around using their proximity sensors?
If I'm outside somewhere, and a car, like, comes slowly edging up to me, and it's got, like, you know, the windows all taped up from the inside, and someone's driving around like that, I'm going to climb on the fucking... I'm just giving everybody a warning right now. I'm going to climb on the fucking hood of your car, and I'm going to start stomping your windows out.
Yeah, I'm doing you a favor so that you don't hit me.
Because fuck you if you try this.
Yeah.
And if you walk around like with a fucking blindfold on doing a challenge and I'm near you, I will trip you. So yeah, it's Bird Box. It's fine. Go watch it. You'll probably never care to watch it again. Watch it with a group of people.
Yeah, and don't believe the hype of... I think we got to speak out against horror bloggers. Ooh, who clearly don't... clearly have never gotten horror movies.
I think this is the problem. Like I said, like, this movie got a lot of hate. I saw a lot of posts online where people gave this movie a lot of hate. I didn't see that. Like, I didn't see why people... There's some people that hated it so much. But yeah, we were talking about this, and Mike, you hit it right on the head, I think. It's not the fact that this movie was so bad. It's really not.
It would have been ignored if it was judged fairly. It has gotten hate because as an overcorrection to the hype.
Yes.
People are so... They have got to stop letting people who are 14-year-old girls not write headlines or articles for horror movies, because you have seen this all over. Like, oh my god, people are fucking, like, walking out of The Nun. People can only watch half an episode of Haunting of Hill House. If you watch all 5 endings to Bandersnatch, you will fucking lose your spine. It will shoot out of your mouth. Like,
yeah,
it,
like,
people
this movie
have
was, like,
actually
people
died watching what's a Hereditary.
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
People didn't get, like, people were throwing up watching Bird Box because it was so intense. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, first of all, there's nobody. This is not happening to anybody. If this was happening to you and you're somebody with some kind of psychological problem, this was not happening. I don't know why people would say this about your movie, because it's just going to piss people off that are actually so hardcore into horror that, like, if you watch this was a fucking joke.
If you are sensitive to horror, at best you would be, like, a little disturbed or, like, have to close your eyes.
Yeah.
But you can't judge, like, sensitive people as the whole people. They're called sensitive because their sensitivity is above normal.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You are right. The hype for this movie is what killed it. Okay, so if we've covered the good and the bad and what we liked and didn't like, I guess there's only one thing left to do. So, Mike, what do you have for us this week?
There was a couple of kills, but a whole lot of more suicides of the week. And I have to say, one of the first ones was the one that was just overall unsettling and startling. This got to me while I was still in the process of being impressed by this movie before it got me fucking angry at it. And that is Malkovich's wife walking into a burning car.
Yep.
It is a quick, unsettling image. Like, at this point, you can't be angry and blaming people for being fucking stupid. This is within the acceptable learning curve of living among the danger.
Yeah.
So people can just realize, oh, something is making people hurt themselves. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to deal with the wind, the breeze. She's just going out to help someone, and boom. Mom? So, yeah, and not only that, she also gives, like, a clue of what she's seeing rather than just, like, some unknown scary thing. It is, in fact, a very familiar thing that that each person sees. So it gave us about as much insight as this lazy fucking idiot of a writer decided to give us. It was the only bone we got. And it was a very unsettling kill, so it contributed as much as anything to the lore of the creatures, and, you know, set this movie off on a good tone that you will find a way to fucking end yourself, and the severity is not a factor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good pick. I would have picked that one too, I think. That was probably the most disturbing one, at the very least. So,
a close second would be Tom, because even though he did get infected, he still managed to take out one more marauder. So, like, like just through sheer force of will, he managed to kill someone who, I guess, was on the side of the light. And then he finally ended himself. But he was a dumb punk-ass bitch who didn't get, you know, the wind. Close your eyes. So, yeah. He does not make the cut.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. All right, guys, so that's our coverage with Bird Box. Have you seen this? What do you think? Did you buy into the hype? Were you extremely disappointed? Did you find that it was like us, like it was okay, or did you love it? And whatever your thoughts on Bird Box, we want to hear from you, not only about your thoughts on that, but if you have another movie you want us to cover on the show and for us to give our thoughts on. You got a few options to contact us. First of all, you can do it the old-fashioned way and just shoot us an email at graveyardshiftpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, of course, at @GYS_horrorpod. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thegraveyardshiftpod. And, of course, on Instagram, instagram.com/thegraveyardshiftpod. If you're feeling particularly generous and you want to keep these episodes coming, you can head on over to patreon.com/graveyard. There you can make a donation to help keep the show running, and for a donation of as little as $1 per month, I mean, come on, that's literally 25 cents per episode. I think we're worth that. You get to help out the show greatly. You help us out with some of the costs of producing and publishing these episodes, but also you get access to some exclusive bonus content. We throw up some Patreon exclusive episodes on the site, and therefore are paying customers only. And we do those episodes a little different than what we do for the regular feed. We don't just give a good and a bad list if we cover a movie. We give a full synopsis. You get the whole movie from start to finish. Plus, we do other things other than movies. We do TV shows, video games, as long as they're horror-related. Do top 10 lists, all kinds of nice stuff like that. So check that out. But of course, we totally understand not everybody has the money to give us money, but you can still help us out a ton by rating, reviewing, and subscribing on whichever source you get our podcast from. They should have some kind of system like that. Or on social media, you can also rate or follow whatever you see fit. Share us on social media and share us by word of mouth. If you know anyone that you think would like to listen to us two guys talk about horror movies, then let them know about us. So, Mike, other than the Graveyard Shift, what other kind of stuff do you got going on?
I got the Tech Chatter podcast, where me and Rich Reeder discuss technology, things at CES, amazing developments in science and technology that are used to save the world, or maybe just keep us happily distracted as it speeds towards its destruction. And we've also got the Playing with Power podcast, where me and some friends will read an issue of Nintendo Power. We talk about the ads, the articles, the coverage, the games, the news. And just when that falls a little short, we just tell gross stories. And then there's the Taste Test, which is pretty much the same thing, except it's video game. We talk about the actual video games themselves instead of just the coverage. And we play a game every, I'd like to say every couple of weeks, but sometimes people don't show up for months. This is, if you want to have the most reliable professional version of my podcasting experience, you're already on it. If you want to see what am I like dicking around with people that don't really care as much as Sheldon as at co-hosting, then you can check out my other stuff. That's the Taste Test Retro Gaming with Flavor. It's also where I started doing skits in the first place. So I already had the hunger for it by the time I brought Sheldon in, and he was impressionable and just decided, I'll go with this too. So
yeah, it's all Mike's fault. So yeah, check them all out. They're all actually really good shows. So for sure, you want to check those out.
Oh, and did you mention us on Radio Haver?
I did not. Yeah, we are officially on Radio Haver.
Haver.
Haver. Sorry, Jesus Christ. So check us out on there, and not just for us, which is great. Like we started us off with a few of our back episodes. We handpicked. It was our pilot episode, then plus a few handpicked episodes by us. And then it'll just go on with our regular feed. So you can check us out on there. We air on Saturday nights at 11. We run from 11 to 12. So the actual graveyard shift.
Yeah, it's 11 Greenwich Mean Time. So yes. Adjust your expectations accordingly. And, show up about a half hour early because they're still figuring out things like, you know, schedules.
Yeah, it's all a new process for everybody, so check that out. But not just for us, they got some great shows. I've been listening to some of it. There are some other podcasts on there that are fantastic, not just horror related, but just a full spectrum of podcasts. Like anything you could think of is covered on there. Plus some great music too, like some nice independent, local musicians on there. Some great stuff like that's I've already heard some that. By some artists that I've immediately had to go and check out the rest of the stuff because it was really good. So all good stuff. Definitely check that out. So that is it for us for this week. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We are going to be back with a next week with another movie for the breakdown. But until then, I'm Sheldon.
And I'm Mike.
Thank you again for joining us on the Graveyard Shift. Ha 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 ha